How long did it take before you wanted to or were able to process this and channel it somehow into music?
Well, I didn't want to process it into music. I actually felt that it was an experience that was beyond music, that I really had couldn't say anything about it. It was too shocking and tragic and too immediate. And the Philharmonic did ask me for the first time there was a piece written whether I would be interested, and I said, no, I really can't write that piece. It's not possible for me to write it. I'll write something else for you, but not that. I didn't think, in a funny thing, a piece should be written about it at that point, at that immediate point. I felt that it didn't make it greater. It made it another event. We're writing a piece about that, Babi Yar, and then there's this, and then there's that. And I didn't feel that way. I felt it was too personal and immediate. And for me, it was wrong to write, so I didn't write the piece.
So when did it come about that the New York Philharmonic asked you to write the commemorative piece for the 10th anniversary?
Well, about 2 years ago, I guess close to 2 years ago, maybe a year and a half ago, they called me in and Alan asked me to write this piece. And I thought about it a lot. And my first reaction was, I can't write an orchestral piece about this. And I had real reasons for saying this. You see, we remember that video so much in our minds. Everybody has seen it. If I wrote an orchestral piece without words, without specifically either directing it towards 9/11 or towards the greatest subject of war itself, whatever I did, if I just wrote a piece, every time there would be the timpani roll and the bass drum and the huge brass come in, somebody would think that's the plane hitting the building. A little side tale on that. There's a very famous piece of Krzysztof Penderecki called Threnody to the Victims of Hiroshima. Now, this piece is for 52 string instruments, and it was not titled that. It was originally titled Piece for 52 String Instruments. And his publisher said, Christoph, go home and think up a better title for this. And I guess he played it for some people and they thought about it and they came to this very evocative title, Threnody to the Victims of Hiroshima. And now we hear the B-29 bomber buzzing on it. We hear the people scrambling on the streets. We hear the bomb at the end of the piece. But they were never written there, you see. And I didn't want to write a piece that would serve as a background score for the replaying of the video of this tragedy. So I went back to them and said, I will only do that if I can do songs, something vocal, because I don't think it can be done any other way. And I explained it. And they had no problem with this. And that's why I ended up writing a vocal song cycle. And I also didn't want to write, I could have gotten a bunch of poems about 9/11 and written a very specific 9/11 piece. But 10 years later, we see this tragedy, and we've seen so many before and after, and we know we're going to see so many in the future. It came here to our home in New York, that's true, but it existed all over the world ever since time began. People started killing each other, and wars were happening. So I said, why don't I write about war, the horror of war, with an ending, with a prayer for peace at the ending, and have that be a 9/11 piece, because 9/11 now takes its place as one of the events in this series of horrible wars that has been going on forever. So that's what I did. I picked four poems. The first poem set up the idea. It was really 9/10. It was the world is going to end, but nobody knows it. People walk, women walk with their umbrellas and parasols, porpoises jump in the sea, a violin serenades a woman, and all of that. All these wonderful images are written, but they don't know. And it's very, very quiet, and it's very, very static. It's almost like something waiting to happen. And from that, I plunge into the war scene, one of the war scenes from the Iliad, in which people are absolutely killed in the most bloody manner and described so. And we see what war is really like. And that, I thought, was the core of this piece, that this is what it is, and we can pretend it's 9/10, but it really isn't. It's after 9/11. And we have to know that that war is happening right now, and Syrians are being killed, and other people are being killed, and it doesn't stop. And then the third poem is a poem written by a woman in the 8th century in China about war on the Great Wall of China, another war that we, of course, don't know about, but existed and in which people were killed. And at the very end of the poem, she says, my children, my husband are out there fighting on this wall to the drumbeat. And you feel the idea of the helplessness and the distance from it that people get when they can't, like we do, we have it. We can't do anything about these wars much. They're just happening. And yet our troops are going over and dying. And this was her cry. And the final poem was a poem I had set actually before I had written this entire cycle. It was a poem by Yip Harburg, the person who wrote The Wizard of Oz, as you know, and Finian's Rainbow. And he wrote extraordinarily beautiful poetry in addition to it, and some sardonic and funny poetry. But he did write this beautiful poem, and it's called One Sweet Morning. And it's about one sweet morning when the rose will rise and war will end and peace will come. And so I ended with that. And I thought that was what I had to say about 9/11. Now, that's a dream. I hope it comes, and we all hope it comes. I wouldn't bet on it, but I can pray for it.
Does that setting of One Sweet Morning have any connection to the setting that you made for Children's Chorus?
Yes, because I wrote this song, you see, before.
Right.
This song existed, and it existed not because it was commissioned. It existed. I wrote it not for the Children's Chorus. I wrote it as a song. And I wrote it just because, well, I read the poem, and it was so beautiful. And I said, I just have to set this poem, and I set it. And it's, therefore, I think one of my favorite settings because it was not commissioned. No one wanted it. And I adopted it for the Children's Chorus. But it also existed as a song. And here, it's now for voice and orchestra. What precedes it is going to make it be heard very differently.
Now, this is a co-commission with the New York Philharmonic and the Shanghai Symphony. Did you include that Chinese poem because of this, or did...
No, I didn't, because that commission came in after I was already writing this piece.
So when this piece premieres in Shanghai, do you think the Chinese are going to have a connection to the September 11th context of it, or... what do you think their connection will be?
You know, I have no idea. I mean, everyone in the world knows about September 11th. So they will know about that. Li Po is one of their most treasured poetesses. I mean, she's just a great poet. And so they probably know a lot of her poems. And I would assume that they would think that this poem was justly put in to... because I took it from all countries. I took, you know... one is ancient Greece, and the first poem, which is a Milosh poem called Song on the End of the World, and was written in Warsaw in 1944. So they come from different places and different times, 7th century, you know, 8th century, China, the United States, Warsaw, etc. And I wanted to get the idea that this is happening all over the world. This is not a phenomenon of, you know, 9/11 happened, but it happened here. But it's happening right now other places.